Welcome to the 2Bit Podcast, a podcast about two former college roommates fighting their way in the lane of game design. I'm Callahan.
I'm James.
And, welcome back to the second episode. I hope you listened to our first one, the one a little bit about us, so you can get to know us better, get to know what we like about game design a little bit more. So this episode, we're going to talk about how we currently see game design. Obviously, this entire podcast's premise is that both of us are really interested in game design. Both of us have started looking into game design, but both of us are still both pretty new at it and are just starting our adventure into this awesome land of fun creativity. So, first off, I think we should talk about what the first thing that comes to our mind is when we think about game design. James, what is that for you?
When I think about design, game design, I really think about, the entirety of the game. I mean, probably comes a little bit from me having to work on them by myself for quite a while there. So I think of it as not only designing the theme, but also the mechanics of the game. And so both where you are, what's going on, what setting is this thing, and then also what is the person actually doing that's going to be fun about this? What are they actually trying to accomplish in this game? Trying to decide how those two interplay is, I think, a major portion of game design. I think no matter if you're strictly technical or strictly creative, I think you have to cross the aisle a little bit to try to figure out how the two can integrate. So I think that's the most integral thing to game design, is trying to figure out how both the theme and mechanics are going to integrate. And I try to work on both, but my weakness is quite definitely theme. I am much more a mechanics kind of guy.
Yeah. When I think of the term game design, it's almost entirely a mechanical thing in my head, right? When I'm thinking about games, I often just think about the mechanics of the game rather than the themes about the game. And now that I've started designing my own games, I've started almost exclusively thinking about the mechanics first, and then I've just in my mind kind of been pasting on mechanics later. So I completely skip out on theme. I just say, what do I want to do in this game? What interesting thing do I want this game to do? And then I, completely skip out on everything else. And then if I have a design there, I then start to go, oh wait, yeah, I need a theme for this thing. Why do all of these things happen? What real world excuses this does this have to do this? But we're saying themes, we're saying mechanics, but what do we even mean by that? So for me, the theme is the driving narrative behind the game. Narrative is kind of the wrong word to use, I guess. It's almost narrative's the wrong term, because narrative is only one part of the theme in the game, in my mind. Games, especially video games, often have actual story-driven narratives that they walk you through. But behind that narrative is the theme of the game. It's the setting. Setting. I guess setting is the right word for
setting. What
setting
better,
would be a nice synonym. Setting would be a nice synonym for what I think of when I think of the word theme. It's like the story in the video game. It's the overall mood of a board game. But when it comes to mechanics, to me, a mechanic is just the way a game plays out, the nitty-gritty things that go on. You play cards in X ways, that's a mechanic. You place your dude somewhere for X reason, that's a mechanic, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And for me, I sort of similar to Cal, I think theme is a setting. I went into saying it's a little bit more back in high school, the who, what, when, where, and why of a game. Why are we even playing this game? Where is my character? Where am I as the player for it? Who am I? That kind of thing. I think mechanics are simply just the how. The interesting thing is, I think a game can exist without theme. I think theme alone also cannot make a game. I don't think you can have a game without mechanics. This is simply true. But I think a game can exist with just a how. I just don't think it exists very well with just a how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think then we just have to answer the question, do we prefer games to be theme first or mechanically first, as designers? I know as a player, It just depends on whether I'm playing board games or video games. Like, as a video game player, I think I prefer my games to be theme first, right? If there's not an interesting narrative going on, or if it's not in an interesting setting, even if the mechanics are really cool, I'll probably get bored pretty quickly because there's no hook to keep me coming back to those mechanics. Because video games are, you know, we have expectations when it comes to both board games and video games. Board games we play every, well, I play them a lot. A lot of people play them every once in a while. But like a board game, you'll probably sit down and play it like once or twice over the span of like 2 to 3 hours with other people. And then like you're kind of done with it for a while. Where a video game, like if I don't have a lot of time and I like a video game a lot, I'll often play it like 1 to 2 hours at a time, like over several days. And so if there isn't a strong theme integration for me there to hook onto, then I won't keep coming back to that video game. I'll just move on to another one. So like in that vein, when it comes to board games, I don't really care much about theme at all. Like when we were preparing for this episode, I was trying to think of what I thought about different theme integrations in board games. And it was just so foreign to me because I've realized that I just don't care. Board games have never really evoked much of a thematic reaction for me beyond me going like, oh, that's kind of cute. Or that's, you know, it was cool what they did there. Because when it comes to board games, I'm often just like, okay, what does this mechanics do? How do these fit together? How can I break them? Or how can I make these mechanics best work together to help me win?
No, I think I agree generally with that. Because even something I was just thinking while you're talking, like, oh, is Monopoly thematically strong? Like, you know, you're trying to run a Monopoly. You're trying to own everything. But yeah. Come to think of it, I never really thought of
my capitalism is terrible.
I never really thought of why I was doing it. I just kept thinking of how could I probabilistically screw everyone else around the table. Like that was how I was thinking about the game. And come to think of it, outside of like Mansions of Madness, I have not ever had a board game really make me think about what, like, why I was doing or where I was or anything like that. I have always been more like you. I just want to beat the game and play it. Settlers of Catan, I don't really care that it's wheat. I just see it's a resource that I need to build a city. Like, so I guess I would agree with that pretty generally. That board games just don't evoke much of a theme for me. And maybe that's okay for them.
And I know it's weird for me to think that way as a player, because like that's not actually really the norm for a lot of people that play. You know, that's not really exactly the norm for a lot of people who are into playing board games. A lot of them do care about theme a lot. They sit down for a lot more of an experience rather than just caring about like playing the game the best they can and winning. From the design side of this, when we were first talking about this episode, I was reminded of something that Mark Rosewater, the head of design for Magic the Gathering, talks about all the time. It's the way that they approach design of Magic cards. Like, obviously, there's a lot of different ways that you can approach the design of Magic cards. But the two, like, at the very base of it, there's two ways you can start the design of a Magic card. You can start top-down, or bottom-up. What that means is like at the top of the Magic card, you know, there's the name and there's the art and then there's the type line, which says something like this is a human scout or this is a zombie shambler or something like that. So if you're starting from the top down and then designing the bottom half of the card based on what's on the top half of the card, it's very thematic. You know, this card is named Undead Shambler. Okay, what would an Undead Shambler do mechanically? Where if you're designing the card from the bottom up, if, you know, that's where the power and toughness of the creature is, or that's where all the rules text is. So you say, okay, this card flies and it's a small creature. So what would that look like? You know, that kind of thing. So that's like that difference in the design of Magic I've always thought is very interesting. And now I'm finding myself approaching those two ways of designing when I myself am designing games. And I'm definitely leaning toward the bottom up direction of designing things. So I come up with mechanics first And then, you know, I paste on a theme later. And I know that's probably not a very good thing, because, like, I care about designing board games. Like, designing video games is cool and whatever, but that's definitely not realistically what I can do, because I can't program and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's a pretty big part of designing video games in the first place, especially, like, on your own, is being able to program.
Can I stop you right there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so, like, yeah. What you just said about, I think it's, like, because of the way video games are made, that would seem weird to someone like me that you want to do the bottom-up approach. I agree with that. I do things top-down pretty much all the time with my games. Mm-hmm. I think it definitely does have to do with the medium, like you're saying, because when it comes to, like, me sitting down, I need to program this thing, it's hard to say, like, I want, like, let's just take the card, for example, like Undead Shambler. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's supposed to, like, resurrect, do whatever. I wouldn't come down and sit and be like, okay, I need to, like, make a card that does these things, and then I'm going to name it. When you're actually coding, you have to name something before you do anything with it. So it almost forces you to thematically... It almost forces you to think thematically just by the way things are. Like, when I'm making Chimeria, the Terraria-like that I mentioned in the last podcast, when I create a new block, I don't think I want to make something that does this. Now I'm going to name it. I think, okay, I need iron ore, and now I'm going to go do that, and I'm going to decide what it does after making iron ore. I'm not going to decide I have a pickaxe that mines at this speed, so now I'm going to make it this ore. I pick the ore, and then I pick the mechanics for it. And I think it might just have to do with, like, the way that the game is put together.
Yeah, no, that does make a lot of sense. Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from there. That makes perfect sense to me. So, yeah, I think... I could say in the board games field, you have much more of the luxury then, perhaps, of getting to choose theme first or mechanics first very easily, because, like, you know, it's all conceptual, a lot of it. Like, a lot of stuff with board games is very conceptual until you get to the late stage nitty gritty. Okay, we gotta prototype this thing, we gotta play test this thing, what does it actually look like, is like when you need a theme. Where obviously you can't have a board game without mechanics. You can't have a game without mechanics either, but as you're, you know, planning out everything and all that kind of stuff, you can just say, I want X ore, or I want X sword, and then what does that look like? Anyway, I've been talking a lot. What do you think about these things besides what you already said?
Well, I think, generally speaking, like I said before, even though I think a game can exist without theme, I really think theme is a great thing to always have. And that if you don't really have a theme established for your game, you're missing out on a pretty big opportunity to draw in more people and to entertain the people who already would have been drawn in by the mechanics alone. I mean, an example is I cannot, for the life of me, enjoy playing Minecraft for more than like 3 hours at a time, and then I'm probably like done after like a week. Like,
done for like 6 months.
Done after a week for multiple months. Like, I just can't bring myself to play the game very much because I don't feel like I'm doing anything. I just feel like I'm creating something and working with the mechanics of the game and whatever. I've actually watched, like, there's a certain YouTube Minecraft YouTuber I watch named Mumbo Jumbo, and it's interesting because I enjoy watching him play the game, because in a way, on their server that they have, they almost create their own theme. And so that game, it's more enjoyable when there is a theme, but the theme has to be created by the people playing it first. And I find that to be not, it probably wasn't intentional, and I don't think it's necessarily better. But it does lend itself a little bit to, like, Minecraft is about creating things. So they have it in a way where you create your own theme. But that doesn't draw someone like me in at all. Well, I agree with you. I don't really want to play a video game that doesn't have a strong theme or some kind of theme in it. Like, I actually wrote down, thinking about this podcast, that Tetris is a game that's been wildly successful but has quite literally no theme. And I can't stand to play Tetris for more than about 5 minutes because I just, again, feel like there's not a point to what I'm doing. So I think theme is almost necessary in a video game to support the person playing it, to give them some kind of reason to continue on. Like a game that I think, like a game that shows this really well was Horizon Zero Dawn for me. I started really not enjoying the mechanics of the game because they felt super bloated and whatever, but the theme was so strong that it pushed me through finishing the game alone, like without even the mechanics annoying me. And I was able to enjoy that portion of the game. And so even though a theme is not necessary, I think it is greatly beneficial.
Yeah, and while you were talking, I was just thinking about it a little more. Like, well, I've been sitting here discounting theme on the board game side of things. You do, like, you can have, like, the best made game ever made. It can have, like, the coolest mechanics, the most innovative mechanics ever. But, like, if you can't actually draw people in, like, if people play your games two or three times and then, like, put it back on the shelf and never touch it again, you've just kind of, like, failed as a game designer, right? Because, like, you make games for people to play. At least, you know, that's what you should be doing. Some people like to make games that are just one-off experiences, which is cool in its own way too. But I want to make games that people want to keep playing over and over and over again. And a strong part of that for the average consumer is probably just theme, right? If I don't nail the theme, then people won't want to do that. So maybe I should start caring about theme more.
Well, I still don't think it necessarily matters for board games because I don't have the same problem with board games as I do with video games. So at least from my personal experience, I don't know if I care if a game, like a board game, has a good theme or a strong theme. And
yeah,
I don't,
that's fair. Yeah.
I don't know. Do you feel a similar way? Because it seems to me maybe it's the medium of like how you play the game. Maybe we're just almost trained to think that a screen needs to evoke some kind of feeling and story while
I mean it could be very expectations based. Like we had, you know, we're both like very early 20s. We both had the benefit of basically starting to game right around the point when like modern video gaming came into its own. You know, like PS1, PS2,
N64.
Like PS2. Yeah, PS2, N64, GameCube, original Xbox. Like, that period of time is when when consoles and also PCs were, like, finally powerful enough to be able to handle, like, narratives and more than the game just being, like, one thing and all that kind of stuff.
It sort of makes sense because, like, our parents were playing Atari and Pong and they loved it. And there was quite literally no theme. Yeah. There was like, I'm playing hockey. I'm literally a circle with two things sticking out of me. Like, this is hockey.
Yeah, exactly. Or like Tetris or Snake. Those games are like, they have the most basic theme ever, but they're just like all mechanics. Mm-hmm. That's what those games are. And those like used to be fine. But like now that we've had the benefit of like growing up in this age of awesome story-driven games everywhere and theme-driven video games everywhere, our expectations are probably just automatically set to that.
I think games are better for it, though, like video games. So,
oh yeah, for sure. No, I'm not trying to say they're not.
No. So I'm trying to say then maybe board games are still in just the Atari state. Maybe our expectations is that they shouldn't have a strong theme. And until they start having a strong theme and show us that that's something that it can benefit from, maybe we won't be seeing that then.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think like the newest resurgence of board games that's been happening in like the last 6 years or whatever, I think is definitely starting to change that. Like more and more games are starting to come out where you can tell they started with a theme and then came up with awesome mechanics to match it. But I mean, of course, I can't think of any off the top of my head. But I
Mages of Madness. I probably just keep going back
Mages
to that
of
one.
Madness.
It's
the
only one that sticks in my head, and it's the most thematically strong one I think I've ever played.
you keep bringing up Mansions of Madness. So let's talk about games that we think to be like thematically weak and thematically strong, and also, therefore, how they did mechanically as a result. Like earlier I said, I didn't actually say this earlier, but I meant to say this earlier. I don't think as a board game designer, I could ever sacrifice mechanics for theme. Okay.
I actually go on.
if I were designing a game and I said, well, this mechanic kind of like buffets up on the theme a little bit, then I'd like mess around with the theme to make that mechanic work. If I liked the mechanic enough and like the mechanic worked well enough. what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to agree entirely. Even though themes should support it greatly, you shouldn't sacrifice what you think is a good mechanic just to make it fit into the story. If it's fun, it's fun. Mm-hmm.
Thematically weak, thematically strong games, how they relate mechanically. My first example that I thought of is Dominion. Like, from popular games, Dominion. That game is the most thematically weak popular board game I have ever played. Like, the theme is there. Like, you know, it's Middle Ages. All the cards are named different medieval things. But, like, why does a village let me draw a card and take another action while this other thing related to a village does something entirely different? Like, the mechanics of the game are pretty solid. I have my complaints with the game, but that's another thing entirely. The mechanics are solid, but they're, like, not connected to the theme whatsoever. It's, like, the most pasted-on theme I've ever seen in a modern board game. But, like, on the other side of things, like, the most thematically strong board game I've played recently also is Mansions of Madness. That's because, like, by design, you know, the game is hooked up to, like, a computer application or, you know, an app on your phone or that kind of thing, where you basically almost play the game, like, half on your computer and half on the board. And because of that, there's, like, tons of really in-depth scenarios and all that kind of stuff, and there's creepy music playing in the background, and all that kind of stuff. And it all comes together to make, like, a great thematic experience. But I found that the interplay of, like, the physical and the digital wasn't exactly nailed how I'd like it to be. And it, like, made it suffer mechanically.
Can you go a little bit more into why, like, how it didn't meet your expectations?
Yeah, like, It's like a really good idea, right? I love the idea. You have your board, and as you move around on the board, you, like, things happen on the computer. But I think it was just, like, a user interface design thing problem for me, right? Like, the game made you handle everything to do with monsters, like, completely manually. Like, rather than like, you know, you encounter a monster, right? The game, like, tells you encounter a monster, so you have to go over to the monster drawer and, like, automatically, like, manually add the monster to the monster drawer and then, like, do everything to combat, like, manually on the computer. There was, like, 5 too many clicks for everything that I had to do in the game.
I think it was, like, 80% of the way through the game that we totally figured out we were doing something wrong. But we couldn't tell because the game was just making us do it by hand.
Yeah, like, while they skipped out on, like, half of the... They, like, skipped out on half of the probability, like, half of the potential of the digital implementation by, like, making us do so many things manually that, like, we were breaking the rules, but we just didn't know it because the computer wasn't stopping us from doing it. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's about all I have to say. Yeah. Mansions of Madness.
And I did, on Mansions of Madness, I would say, like, even though it had those issues with, like, oh, we had to manually do everything, I still enjoyed myself more in that board game than any other game I've played in a long time. But I think that just had to do more with I was enjoying the story. Because the thing is, if I were to go back and replay one of those stories, I would immediately be discarding the theme from my mind and start thinking of how I can min-max it again. It would just become a mechanic.
Yeah, because we know exactly what's going to happen and where we need to go and all that kind of stuff.
And so it almost seems like, even though it had, like, the strong theme, it was an incredible first experience, if I went back and played the same campaign we did before, I would probably not enjoy myself very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. What are your thematically weak and strong games?
Well,
James?
Thematically weak, sort of mentioned it already. Minecraft and Tetris are two pretty big ones for me. They have essentially no theme. Like Tetris, definitely nothing. Minecraft, you can make an argument a little bit, especially with a lot of the recent updates and stuff. They're trying to make it more of like there's these villages to interact with and whatever, but it still doesn't really affect the game all that much. Minecraft is more about just building various things. And you can see from all the different clones that have come out of it that it doesn't really matter that you're punching a tree. You can it can be something else and it doesn't matter. You can add a bunch of texture packs to it.
It's just Minecraft is so strong mechanically that like there can be every clone in the world with the exact same theme and no one cares. Exactly. They just play Minecraft anyway.
And with Tetris, again, there's just it's a mechanically strong game and every time someone's tried to tack a theme onto it, it just completely fades away into the background. There's plenty of wonderful videos going through all of the Tetris games that have come into existence and some of the themes are just absolutely ludicrous, but of course they fall into the background because that isn't the focus of the game. So those are games I think are thematically weak but still successful. Even though that's not how I would have designed them from the beginning, I would have tried to pick out a theme, and I think I wouldn't have made it as successful of a product, though. And thematically strong games that I think don't even really suffer mechanically from it, I would actually put like Binding of Isaac, Hollow Knight, Owlboy, and Bloodborne. Those are probably like the strongest ones I played recently, but I'll go a little bit more into like probably into Hollow Knight. Because I think of the four, it's definitely the strongest thematically. If anyone's ever played it, it's sort of like vaguely Lovecraftian horror. You're playing this little bug, but you're also a knight. And it's like this whole kingdom of insects. And it's all very barren and empty. And everyone's speaking about how the good old days are gone. And basically just these horrible monsters have taken over everything. And the second you play the game, you just start to focus not on what you're doing necessarily, but just on how beautiful the environment is and how it changes from area to area. And just the game is so visually stunning and like it's so pleasing to your ears too, just all the custom music and sounds. But then as the game goes on, they introduce more and more mechanics slowly. And I think that's actually how like Hollow Knight has been able to be such a thematically strong game and also have such solid mechanics is because they didn't try to shove all the mechanics in your face at once. You're able to have them introduced to you through the theme. And so every time you get a power, it somehow is tied to the story and to what your character was actually doing in the world. And so they took the fact that they had focused on theme from the beginning. I believe they probably did. And then every time they wanted to bring in a mechanic, they made sure the theme followed with it so closely that it seemed natural. And these mechanics could have been thought of, likely were thought of without the theme, but then they were able to wrangle the theme into place to then support the mechanic. So like you said before, you would never sacrifice a mechanic for a theme. I don't often think there is a mechanic that can't exist in a game that goes against the theme. I think you can pretty much always find a way to make the mechanic work into the theme and not feel shoehorned. It just requires an enormous amount of work. But if you do it right, I think it's the best thing you could do. And I would say Hollow Knight is a pretty much perfect example of that. I have, after a lot of time playing the game, the only complaints I have with it are it's a Metroidvania and I just get really frustrated playing this, but that's not its fault. That's the nature of the genre.
I've seen a lot of people claim that like Bloodborne is one of like the most interesting and thematic like worlds world and video games like available on the PlayStation 4 right now. Do you think part of that is that they had the studio who's obviously, you know, it's a Souls-like it's a re-skinned Dark Souls game in many ways. Do you think part of why they were able to make the theme so strong is because they were able to focus on that so much and then pick and choose and be like, yeah, we want these Souls elements in it that fit the theme?
Yeah, so as someone who's beaten every Souls game and just loves Bloodborne with all their soul.
Can't relate.
You played how many minutes of Bloodborne and then said, I'm done?
About a half basically. Hour. Yeah.
So I think with Bloodborne, they had such a solid mechanical background from all the Souls games. They were able to pretty much just say, we want to make a Lovecraftian horror setting and make it like Souls. And they just did it. I think like you were saying, they had the mechanics so down pat that they were able to just sort of choose what they wanted to do. I mean, even if you look at Dark Souls, it has a lot of really hidden story to it and a lot of hidden theme. And a lot of people don't understand that that's not actually the first game the From Software made of that genre. It was Demon's Souls. And if you play Demon's Souls, you can tell that theme-wise, they didn't care as much at all. It's sort of like each area is so very different, and it seems like they were just toying around with various things. And they even threw its lore sort of out mm-hmm. the window for the Souls game, the rest of the Souls series. So I think that From Software in their first game focused almost strictly on mechanics and sort of set up a theme that made sense with their desired mechanics. And then from that point on, they focused much more greatly on theme than they had mechanics. But looking at like Bloodborne, they chose a Lovecraftian horror setting, and then they tweaked their mechanics to fit that. And so they turned it into a much faster game, a much bloodier game, a much more like rewarding and violent experience for the sake of their theme. Because there's all these monsters and horrible things, quick knee-jerk reflexes are the way you would react, and they made the mechanics work to that. And so, and you look at Sekiro, their newest title. Granted, it's not exactly a Souls-like, but it's pretty close. The game is very strong on yet another new theme. It's a feudal Japan setting. You're playing a shinobi. And they, again, tweaked the mechanics to fit that theme. And so I think they're an example of like what a studio can do with a few successes is that they should sort of focus on the mechanics early. Get those figured out in some title. See if those work and if those alone are enjoyable. And then you can begin to focus so strongly onto theme that you make this sort of masterpiece experience everyone like just loves to play and loves to talk about. Because amongst the Soulsborne community, Bloodborne is pretty much the bona fide like best game of the series. I don't know about Sekiro coming into the equation if it's a little different now, but that was considered the best one, and that was the most thematically strong one. And it wasn't even necessarily the last one they made. They made Dark Souls 3 after that, but it was following in the footsteps of those thematically weaker games. And so, after that long spiel, yes, I think that their focus on theme made the game so much better. But it was only because they had had the mechanical background.
First, can you like really quickly define what you think a Souls-like game to be for the uneducated listener?
Souls-like game is a game where basically on your death, you lose all progress. Not in the same way as a roguelike where you lose literally all progress, but you lose all progress from like that run in the game. So example, when you kill an enemy, you get 10 of some currency, basically, or some experience. And until you bank that currency somehow back at like a starting point, you are in danger of losing
like
it.
The bonfires, yeah, bonfires in the Soul series.
Bloodborne, it's lanterns. Lords of the Fallen, it's just this weird floating crystal. Like it can be any kind of like this spot you go to bank these points into something. But when you bank them, you also reset the world. So all the enemies come back, and so you have to get further into the game. And so you have to balance risk and reward in this game, and also the fact that if you go back, you're literally losing all your progress. But if you keep going forward far enough, you may also hit a new checkpoint, a new bonfire. So pretty much any Souls-like is a game where they reward you for going further, but the further you go, the risk gets greater, and you must eventually bank the resources you've gained. That's sort of how I define it.
Would you also say it's fair to like include in that definition, like your character is exceedingly weak and all of the enemies can like two-shot you if you aren't careful?
Sort of say that. I mean, not even necessarily exceedingly weak, but all the characters, the enemies are at minimum as good and versatile as you are. Like, they can generally make all the same movements and similar kinds of decisions as you. So they can, like, be invincible during certain points by, like, dodging your attacks. And they can kill you in a similar number of hits that you can kill them. You don't have an edge on your opponents. Most of the time, they have an edge on you.
Okay. And secondly, You said that you think that From Software definitely was able to benefit by being able to like focus on the mechanics first and like mm-hmm. doing games like Demon's Souls where there wasn't much of any theme and all that kind of stuff, and now they're up to Bloodborne, which many people say is like an absolute achievement in both mechanics and theme. Do you think it's fair to say that it would be very hard to do that approach like From Software did without having a genre that is basically entirely revolutionary like they did? Because they basically invented a game genre that is now incredibly popular. Mm-hmm. And like potentially without like that kind of mechanical ingenuity, they would have never like survived past releasing Demon's Souls, and they just would have like folded.
I think without the mechanical ingenuity, even with as strong of a theme as they were able to introduce, I don't think it would have survived. Because if anyone has played them long enough, you'll also recognize that the theme is incredibly hard to understand most of the time. Like, at least the story portion of the theme. It requires a lot of intentional work and just intentionality all around to even start to understand what's going on. And so if the games didn't have such a revolutionary, like, mechanical system, I don't think they would have survived. But I don't think the strength of the theme would have really been affected by that. But I think the mechanics mm-hmm. Would have been. If you attacked that like theme onto something else, like if you decided to make a third-person shooter where you like threw scythes or something for Bloodborne, the story and the setting could still be mm-hmm. as beautiful as they were, but that would just make absolutely no sense with what was going on. That would not be like mm-hmm. a good integration of the two, and I think From Software would have folded after that. They wouldn't have really deserved to be in the place that they are now.
Okay, so you know, we've been talking about theme versus mechanics a lot. Obviously, we're thinking of ourselves as startup game designers, and to be game designers, you have to be designing games. How is this conversation of mechanics versus theme currently like manifesting itself in our current design work? James, tell us about Edge of the Grave.
Yeah, so with the main game that I'm really working on that has any kind of theme is Into the Grave. I guess I'll actually spiel on that a little bit. Chimeria and the other game, Corporation Tycoon, don't really have too strong of a theme. I mean, Chimeria is just a Terraria-like. It's more of a, I just want to make this mechanic that I've seen in other games be more correct and be the way I want it to be, and just sort of see if I can do it. And hopefully there's other people who want it. So that game isn't really strong on any theme. I just have like a placeholder character named Dave that is walking around, but there's nothing like, there's no story to the game. I don't intend on ever making a story for the game. So that's actually a game where I have no theme whatsoever. I'm just playing with mechanics. Sort of similar, Corporation Tycoon. It's like an office building game. Not really a ton of theme to go on there. There's not really much in the way of this is deciding what's going... Oh, actually, there's a little more theme in that game than Chimeria, probably. So currently I have workers and supervisors implemented in the game. And so as part of the theme of like offices, I've tried to simulate micromanaging, like overmanagement and undermanagement in a company and how that affects your profits. And so that little bit of theme is introduced there, where it's like you want to have this correct balance of supervision in your company, or else you actually will start to lose money if there's too many managers, or lose money if there's too few managers, stuff like that. So that game has a little more of a theme just because it actually lends itself to the simulator mechanics I'm trying to create. But with Into the Crypt, that was a game that I pretty much decided on the theme first, and then the various mechanics have come out from that theme. And so, like, the starting theme of it, I just wanted to make a good Lovecraftian horror game. And I started to think about, like, the mechanics of that. Like, what could go along with that? And then I thought of, well, first off, what about a horror title? But then I remembered that I don't really enjoy horror games, like Outlast, anything like that. They seem sort of boring a lot of the time to me. They don't have very much going on. You're just sort of walking through and hoping you don't die. And usually there's not really... Like, I've watched Cal try and play it too. There's also a lot of people who just don't like playing those games. And so it's also a pretty small audience. So there'd be a small audience of people who even would play the game, which makes me sad. And I personally wouldn't even really enjoy the genre I'd be creating. So I tried to, so thankfully Bloodborne sort of gave me the idea of, well, Lovecraftian horror like theme doesn't need to be this like slow churning horror experience. It can instead be like a more fast paced game. And so I decided from there to go into like mechanics I felt I enjoyed that kept with a theme. And so I came to like a dungeon crawler, sort of like nothing we've really seen before, where you have like tight hallways, darkness and monsters. Obviously those are going to give off a lot of the horror like vibes that you want. But I wanted to create a bunch of more enjoyable interactive mechanics, not just sort of running through killing stuff. I want it because there's a lot of games I've played from like overhead, randomly generated dungeon perspective where your guy's just basically a little meat wad going around killing things. And it doesn't really feel like there's a purpose to what you're doing yet again. It feels like I'm trying to rack up numbers and stats and stuff. And so I wanted to sort of rip that away a little bit. And so the theme has decided some of the different mechanical choices that have tried to make it more personal, such as your character has like a depleting light source, which provides some kind of risk for diving deeper in. So not unlike a Souls-like where you just diving deeper in is the danger. Instead, in this, there's some kind of basically resource that's always diminishing. That is like your risk for going deeper. You can get more by going deeper, potentially higher rewards by going deeper, but you're also much more likely to just die before you get back because you can't see anything. Not being able to see around corners gives you a little bit more of the like, I don't know what's on the other side. I have to be prepared for almost anything, and just some kind of like horror to that aspect. And also because in Lovecraftian, like monsters, if you ever looked at them a lot, all of them are incredibly unique. Often they don't look very similar. And so for this one, we're hoping to like you harvest different parts and organs and stuff from these unique monsters for the sake of upgrading your equipment. So not exactly crafting, because we don't want to get into what we talked about last episode where crafting system just seems overdone and awful. And that's why you're playing the game, is to craft better things, but more so just like a bit of a boon to what you've already done, a sort of reward for killing these unique things. And more similar to Monster Hunter, but not as grindy, because that game, the game is just you want to get the better thing, and we don't want it to feel like that. We want it to feel like you are rewarded for killing this new thing. You're rewarded for going deeper. And so it doesn't just feel like you're an impersonal meat wad. We've introduced probably the most important part of the game that I hadn't even intended to have from the beginning, but wonderful people on the team had decided would probably be helpful, is the whole village. We're going to have like there's a village you come back to from diving into these crypts. And this village, your player is actually a participant in this village. They're not just like it is in a lot of games where you go to your village or stuff and you go to the blacksmith and you go to the item shop and whatever. Instead, you actually are the blacksmith. And so you also have this role that you play in this community. And you need to provide, you're going into the crypt not just for yourself, but also to provide some kind of resources and other stuff for the other people in that village. And you interact with them and trade with them based on the things that you've brought in from the crypt. And so there's some kind of personality to you are actually doing this for a reason. You're not just sort of running around killing all these zombies or stuff in this crypt and then leaving and then, oh, I died. Now I'm going to restart. It's instead you're doing this and there's a village to come back to. There's something you're trying to provide for and trying to improve. So that's how like I've seen themes sort of affect the mechanics of a game and try to like support the mechanics with the theme, because I don't think the village especially and the set like and the darkness in the game would really be as important or helpful to the enjoyment of the experience if there wasn't that initial idea of this needs to be a Lovecraftian like setting, needs to be very dark and dreary.
As far as my stuff goes, you know, I am working on Into the Crypt, but not as much recently, just because you know, I haven't gotten around to it. I've been busy with lots of other things, like, you know, starting this podcast. Aha. No, the main thing I've been working on recently is a card game with another person. I'm doing the designing and they are doing a lot of the artistic direction and stuff, which is definitely not my strong suit whatsoever. So it's great to have them on board. But I definitely did not approach it from the theme side. This person approached me and they were like, hey, I would love to make a game with you. And I'm like, wait, this is awesome. This is like my one roadblock in my mind forever for making games was like, man, I can't make games. I can't do the art side of it. I can't do the production side of it. I don't have money to do that kind of thing either. I don't have the money to pay people to do that kind of thing for me either. But this person approached me and they're like, man, I'd love to make a game with you. And so, you know, I was like, sweet, let's make a game. And so since it was so like out of the blue, I hadn't really been thinking about mechanics theme recently, any themes I wanted to make besides, you know, last time I was talking about how I might want to make a Dune game someday. That's besides the point. So I was thinking about it and I was like, man, what if I made a deck builder game that was better? And so like it's a deck builder. That's like right now it's a deck builder. Obviously I started with the mechanics that I wanted. So I took X mechanic and I took X mechanic in my mind and X mechanic in my mind. And I kind of like shoved them together and I mixed them all up and I'm like, okay, what does this game look like? How does this game actually work? How do you win? So I cut stuff out. I added stuff in. I've refined it quite a bit in my own mind. It still needs work. A lot of the individual cards actually still need designed, of course, because that's the worst part of making a card game. Before we designed the cards, we were saying we decided that we needed to come up with a cool theme. And I think that we've done that now. Regardless of what happens to the rules, I think the theme will work for us. And it revolves around what I hope. It is going to stay the core gameplay mechanic besides, you know, the base deck builder bit where, you know, you're building up your deck over time and discarding cards and reshuffling your discard pile and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Hopefully we'll be prototyping soon. I know that the person working on me with the game said that they were mocking some stuff up soon, but we're both pretty busy people. So we'll see how long that takes us to get done. Kind of disconnected to whatever we were talking about today. We thought it might be a good idea to just talk about what games we're playing right now and our thoughts on those games from like a design perspective. I myself recently, as I said in the last episode, I've been playing God of War on the PS4. It won lots of Game of the Year awards last year, and I think for good reason. The game is awesome. It's a great, you know, coming of age story and a great father son story. It's has a great setting, you know, it's set in Viking mythology and all that kind of stuff, which comes with lots of great, you know, things that people are familiar with and things that people aren't familiar with. You know, you got Thor and Odin and Zeus, not Zeus, Thor and Odin and, you know, all those gods and the giants and all that kind of stuff. And so it's a great theme that they've been able to build a great story on top of. And on top of that, the core gameplay is awesome. You know, the combat is phenomenal. I mean, that's the core gameplay. The combat's phenomenal. There's lots of cool tricks you can do. So I'm really enjoying the time playing it. And I'm really enjoying the world that the game is set in. But unfortunately, the game suffers from what I like to call modern AAA game syndrome, which is that it is entirely bloated with so many mechanics that I feel barely are worth touching at all. It has a vague open world, but that part's fine. But that's a common AAA bloated syndrome, game syndrome. There's foraging in it. You have to forage for materials that you have to use to craft your upgrades for your 20 different like armor and weapon pieces. And there's these runes. Yeah, there's these runes that give you special abilities, and there's slots for your runes, but you can upgrade the runes. But, you know, there's so many different things that you can like twist and turn and all that kind of stuff, which is like cool, but like I just don't care. It's the exact kind of thing, like earlier you were saying that Horizon Zero Dawn had this kind of bloat, but the theme you know, kept you through the game. The theme in Horizon Zero Dawn didn't keep me. Like, I played like 12 hours of Horizon Zero Dawn and I was just like ready to be done with it because I was sick of always having to go and specifically forage for things if I wanted my weapons to be even remotely fine to use. It's that kind of bloat that I'm seeing in so many like large AAA millions of dollars budgets games. It's like they're like, well, this is a big game, so we gotta stuff more big things into it. And like, it's just like a big pile of mechanics that like are all great things on their own, but like all together I feel like half of the mechanics in the game are just a waste of my time, and so I ignore them until I absolutely have to. Like, you know, the crafting and the upgrades and having to forge for specific stuff. I just greatly dislike that thing, and I think it takes away from the game, but not enough that, you know, I'm not loving it. Besides that stuff, it's a great game. I haven't had a chance to play any board games recently besides good old Magic the Gathering, due to all of my move craziness, and, you know, I gotta find people up here to actually who actually want to play board games with me. Down at school it was pretty easy, but up here not as much. Though, I picked up the old Game of Thrones board game pretty soon. I've heard a lot of good things about it. A really big, politically driven game that you need like six people for. So I'm really hoping to play that soon. What about you, James?
Yeah, so I mentioned, you know, last podcast, I've been playing Assassin's Creed Origins. And so I said I was really actually surprised at how much I was enjoying the game last time around. And so I want to discuss a little bit more about like what I think it's done well and what I think it's doing really awfully. To start off, I think it has an incredibly strong theme. If you don't know, it's actually set in like sort of ancient Egypt, like Cleopatra time, around the time Greece was starting to interact with them a bit. And so far, they take that whole theme and just sort of run with it. All the weapons, the armors, the settings, the areas, the guards, everything is very much like, oh, this is Egypt. And like when you go to Alexandria, you feel like, yes, this is a Greek like city. This is an ancient Greek city. There's all this art and whatever. I think it has something to do with the fact that they're basing it off of like real life locations. And so the locations speak for themselves in the theme. And so far, the story is actually quite enjoyable. Most of the time with Assassin's Creed, though, I'm interested in the story for the first 50% of the game, and it just sort of starts to fall apart. So currently, I'm in that 50%, so we'll see if it sticks around. And also, there's a really realistic protagonist. So far, he hasn't done or anything or acted in a way that seems ridiculous. It seems like this could be a real person with an actual motivation for what they're doing. So far, when it comes to AAA tropes, I have been shocked at the lack of them. Compared to especially previous Assassin's Creed games, there just aren't collectibles all over the place, finally. The map doesn't give me claustrophobia when I look at it. And also just doesn't feel like the super empty world. When it comes to crafting, there is a little bit of that, but thankfully, it's not as ridiculous as it sounds like some games have been, and at minimum, getting the components I passively do just by playing the game, so it doesn't feel like I'm going out of my way to participate in the system. It just sort of seems like it's rewarding me for playing the game, so I might be a little bit okay with it, but still, I think it could do without. The main issue I've actually found between the theme and mechanics blend is that the first bit of the game, the protagonist made a very big deal about how important it was that he not even rest or sleep like in the coming days because he needed to finish like this task that he's going after. He needs to get his vengeance. And then I can just sort of wander the world and do whatever I want for days and days on end and help out these people with their shop stalls and help out these other people with these things. And it just seems like the sense of urgency is sort of lost in the fact that this world gives you so much freedom. So they give you all this freedom, but it suffers them like in the story because he's in such a rush to do these things. But I spent 12 days just sort of walking in circles, killing hippos. So that sort of suffers from it. I don't know what they really could have done to solve it other than simply remove that from the story. Him saying that he was in this great rush. This is sort of a problem that one of our friends has mentioned before with open world games that he's seen where the story
the open world gets in the way of the storytelling. And I think this game has a bit of a problem with that.
Just
like before with Horizon Zero Dawn, that was actually probably the most recent game that I beat, other than Kingdom Hearts, older Kingdom Hearts series. And I wanted to 100% the game from like the first hour of playing it, because I just felt like the game was, it was great. I loved it. The mechanics were wonderful. But then as I got further and further and realized how big the world was and what kind, like how boring it was to go out and do a lot of those like collectible things, I just pushed through the main story and just completely ignored all the collectibles in the game because it just felt like it wasn't worth it. But I just wanted to resolve the story. And so that was another situation where I think Horizon Zero Dawn was an incredible game and a good innovative concept in a lot of ways. But they just tried to fill the game with way too much bloat because I think they just felt like they needed to, because the developers of Horizon Zero Dawn were the developers of Killzone, a first person shooter franchise. They weren't in the realm of game design already where they were comfortable with putting collectibles all around the world. So it almost feels like they probably felt pressured into doing it. And I hope with the sequel that is coming out that they sort of revert on that decision of theirs, and they may see like the error of that way and just sort of create a more curated experience of the world.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense. I think that's about all we got. We're pushing up on an hour, which is kind of wild. So thanks for listening to this second episode of the 2-Bit Design Podcast. As for me, if you want to get in touch with me, you can hit me up on Twitter. My username is Caljoones. That's CALJOONES.
And if you want to get in touch with me on Twitter, my handle is JAMZBORNE, Jamesborn.
And then if you follow us on Twitter, we have a Twitter now for the show. It's at 2-Bit Design. You know, it's the name of the podcast, but without like podcast. 2 is spelled out, T-W-O. So yeah, thanks for listening. We'll hope you're listening to us again in 2 weeks.